sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Listen to verse 5. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. My every longing keeps me singing as I go. Amen. Amen. Let's open it in prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you brought us once again into your house of worship. Thank you for this first day of the week that you have set apart for us to dedicate to you, to gather and be renewed, be strengthened as a church and as individual Christians. Oh Lord, thank you for the visitors that are here with us today. Thank you for the new upgrades in the auditorium that get rid of the asbestos and the newly painted walls and the new lightings, Lord God, that you have blessed us with. Thank you for this place that you've entrusted to us. I pray that we may be a blessing to someone today, that especially for the visitors that are here for the first time. I pray, Lord God, that the songs that we sing, the friendship that we have and the fellowship that we have and the preaching of your word will be a blessing to our visitors and members alike this morning. Thank you for this day. I pray that you be with us with your Holy Spirit throughout the whole service this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Brother Pat, good.
So, Brother Mac, you want to come on up and we'll do our scripture reading?
To the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be just, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire in truth the inward part, and the inward part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear God and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your pleasures to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifice of your righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then they shall offer bulls on your altar. I read Psalm 51, verses 1 through 19. Praise be the name of the Lord. The reading of His word.
So we were planning to have a business meeting today, but we, the trustees, haven't gone over the quotes we have for the carpet, so we're going to postpone that. We'll do that 2 weeks from today. Next week we're going to be having Easter Sunday get together, so we'll just do it in 2 weeks. Give us a chance to review the bids for the carpeting. So, and now we have Brother Johnny. Do you have a special for us? Yes.
I got a car key here.
Oh, car keys. Somebody left their car keys.
Ooh,
Mercedes.
Good morning, everyone. You know, in this life, God has not promised us an easy road. It's going to be a rough road at times. You know what, but when my burdens get too heavy, and my sin is ever before me, I humble my heart, and I go to the throne of grace and cry out for mercy. Amen. And you know what? After I plead with my Lord, then I just look and think about Calvary, please. Calvary's still there now. Amen.
I'm sorry, brother, if not, we can use the message.
Uh-oh. Yes, I can. Okay. Amen. Once again, I look upon that hill called Calvary. When Satan tells me that I'm unworthy to be in the family of God, I'm so glad because of grace I can look back to that place when my sin debt was paid eternally. Then I look to the blood of Calvary, the precious blood, oh, that set me free. For there I find hope, there I find peace and victory. When I look to the blood my Jesus shed on Calvary, now when you are struggling with doubts and failure, just look towards the cross of Calvary. And you will find this very hour sufficient grace and saving power. If you only believe and trust His precious name, then you look to the blood of Calvary. For the precious blood, oh, that will set you free.
there you find hope, there you find peace and victory. When you look to the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, when you look to that blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, on Calvary. Look to the blood, beloved. Look to the blood. Praise God.
Before we go on, let me recognize the visitors that are here with us today. Brother Jerry, can you introduce our visitors, please? Welcome to Chula Vista Baptist Church. And Brother David Chandel, you want to introduce your mom? Welcome to Chula Vista Baptist Church. So if you didn't get that, today we're supposed to have a church meeting after the service. We're going to go ahead and postpone that, Brother Pat. What announcement I want to make, though, is my daughter's giving me a signal. Raise it up, hand up, Israel. That's this coming Friday for the Easter, the young people, that means ages 1 and 99. if the youth group are going to be at Roar Park this coming Friday around 4 or 5 p.m., just contact my wife. What time? 4? 4 p.m. at Roar Park if you have that day off or when you're getting out of school. We have something special for you for this coming Easter and this coming Friday. So all the youth, okay, 20, 30 and below. Okay, 30 and below. Although if you would like to be there, you're welcome to play games with us. Amen? So that's all I have for the Pat.
I saw the pastor on Facebook. Did anybody else see the pastor on Facebook? He had his gi on. Was that a black belt? I think there was a black belt, but I saw him on Facebook. It was pretty good. Let's go ahead and we'll turn to 428. This will be our offertory hymn. He hideth my soul. Thank you. 4.
When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful life, I shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides
a couple of ushers. Brother Gary?
We thank you for all of us today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together, Lord. And we pray that you would watch over and guide and direct us as pastor preaches, giving the unction to the preacher, which you would give to the word. Lord, we would forgive to the giver, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and
complete in thee. No more shall sin thy grace hath conquered reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, wilt be, I ask no more, complete in thee. Ye justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Ladies, Brother Marco. It's good to see Brother Marco playing guitar. Amen. He's the one who painted the wall, okay, of the church. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. We're on the fourth week on a series of messages on the troubles with mankind. We've been doing a character study. We started with Joseph, with Moses, with Hosea. Today we're going to look at the prophet Elijah and his troubles. If you would honor the word of God by standing up as we read a couple of verses from 1 Kings chapter 17. Reading from verses 1 all the way to verse 9. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain in these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had not been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." The title of this message is The Troubles with Elijah. Troubles with Elijah. Let me ask Brother Raul to pray for our message this morning. Brother Raul, please.
Our God, our Father, we commit this service into your loving hands. Let your word speak to us, revive us, and draw us close to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm chapter 88, verse 3, the Bible says, "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave." Job chapter 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of troubles." And we said that some troubles are ordained of God, but some troubles are inflicted by our own. Today we're looking at the life of Elijah and the troubles with Elijah. Notice first the occasion of his calling. The occasion of the calling of Elijah was characterized by the drought. Look at verse 1 again. "And Elijah the Tishbite was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab." Now the occasion of the calling of Elijah was called to minister, to prophesy to a divided nation of Israel. If you are familiar with the book of 1 Kings, 1 Kings deals with the division between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. After King David came King Solomon. After King Solomon, the kingdom of the nation of Israel was divided into two, between Jeroboam, his son, and Rehoboam. When you get to chapter 16, is an account of several different kings. Most of them were wicked. Look at chapter 16, verse 29, back up for a little bit, so you can see the occasion of Elijah's calling. Look at verse 29. One of the wicked kings that came as part of the division of the nation of Israel to the northern and the southern kingdom was this king by the name of Ahab. Look at verse 29 of chapter 16. "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah." So there's the first division was Judah. "Began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel." So the occasion of the calling of the prophet Elijah, well, number one, the kingdom was divided. There was the southern kingdom of Judah, and there was the northern kingdom of Israel. Now God said, I have taken out the glory from Israel. He stayed with Judah. Judah was the chosen tribe, but God has forsaken Israel, and so much so because they were wicked. Look at the characteristic of this king, for example. Look at verse 30. "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all the other kings that were before him." Verse 30, "It came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat." Now, Jeroboam was one of the Israelite kings who was also wicked. Most of the kings of Israel were wicked. There was only very few that actually did good in the eyes of God. Well, the Bible says this Ahab was the worst of all the kings. And to make matters worse, he's married a wife by the name of Jezebel. If you're going to have a daughter, please don't name her Jezebel. Look at verse 31. "It came to pass that it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians." Here comes the problem. You have an evil king married to an evil queen. "And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And he made a grove." And notice verse 33. "He did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." So the call the occasion of the call of Elijah was, number one, he was called into a divided kingdom after King Solomon. Number two, he was called to be under and to preach against and go against the evil kingship of Ahab and Jezebel. And then thirdly, he was called to go against a system, the Baal or pagan worship of the nation of Israel. Now, if you're a student of history, you will be able to trace the Babylonian system of worship under Nimrod all the way from Genesis chapter 11. You had this guy by the name of Nimrod who led his own system that led to the fall of Babel and the fall of mankind. Well, they had different practices. For example, in Judges chapter 17, verse 10, just for the sake of time, I'm going to go through these ones with you. You can write the verses down. In Judges chapter 17, verse 10, on the characteristic of this Babylonian system that worshiped Baal. Well, check this out. Judges 17, verse 10, the Bible says that they called their leaders, their priests, fathers. In Judges chapter 18, verse 18, they worship images. In 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 22, their priests wore robes. In Jeremiah chapter 44, verses 17 to 25, they worship the Queen of Heaven. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 to 7, they built Christmas trees and worshiped it. The same image of the tree in the Garden of Eden with the serpent wrapped around it, that is the image of the Christmas tree. And that the Babylonian system had worshipped that. Imagine that. If you're interested in that study, I can recommend you a book by Alexander Hislop. The history of the Babylonian and pagan practice under Nimrod, which led into the pagan practices of Roman Catholicism today. Well, Elijah was, the occasion of the calling of Elijah was that of a drought. But notice how God works in two ways. Look at verse 1 of chapter 17, verse 1. God calls Elijah to confront Ahab and bring a judgment of drought unto Israel. He says that the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years. The occasion of the calling of Elijah was that of a drought. It was a physical drought, as in there will not be rain for many years. But in type, in reality, it wasn't so much about the physical drought in Israel. But what was really going on was the spiritual drought in the nation of Israel. God called a drought not just to signify, okay, you guys are not going to have any rain. Animal kingdom will die and eventually you will die. We'll see that later on. But God's real message is that Israel has been in a spiritual drought for so long. And in reality, as Christians, sometimes in the church life and in the Christian life, sometimes we go through spiritual droughts. Sometimes the mundane, you know, the repetitive monotony of the church life, sometimes it overshadows the drought that is in the hearts of Christianity today. Oftentimes, I am tempted to preach soft and mellow messages, you know, to kind of sort of take things easy and give hard preaching a break. But then, you know, I realize that every time I preach a nice and soft message, some people would fall asleep. And I feel that when I do that, I become no different from the Catholic priest that I grew up under. Before getting saved, I was raised up a Catholic, and I was an altar boy. In Spanish and Filipino, it's called sacristan. I was an altar boy that ministered to the priest, the ministries of the altar. I was an altar boy. But I can tell you this, of all the messages that my parish priest have preached, I cannot remember a single one of them. Because it was monotonous. It was repetitive. He read from a book and there was a prescribed text he was going to preach from Sunday after Sunday. How many of you were former Catholics before and you remember that? And I tell you, the problem with that kind of practice and with that kind of preaching is that you get to a point where everything is just the same. Everything is mundane. Everything is repetitive. And when the voice of the preacher is monotonous and just kind of dull, and I can't blame you if you're falling asleep. So I told myself, no, I will not be that kind of preacher. I need to stay alive. I need to encourage. I need to rebuke. I need to reprove and be excited about the message of God. Because the truth is, you and I as Christians will go through a spiritual drought in our lives. But sometimes God brings drought into our lives to call His people back to fellowship with Him. Point number one. Sometimes God brings a drought into our lives to call us back into fellowship with Him. God brings calls the prophet Elijah to bring drought unto the country, the nation of Israel, only to call Israel back into Him, back into fellowship with Him. Secondly, notice, so that's the occasion of the calling of Elijah. The occasion of the calling of Elijah, he was called into a divided kingdom. He was called unto an evil king and queen, and he was called to proclaim drought. Secondly, the opportunity. So first, the occasion of his calling. Number two, the opportunity in his calling. The opportunity in his calling, that is the rain. Go to chapter 18, verse 1. Of 1 Kings. Chapter 18 verse 1. Those of you that are familiar with the story, what transcends here is a battle, a showdown between Elijah the prophet of God and 450 of Baal's prophets going at it. You remember that story? And there comes a challenge, and Elijah said, you know what? If your God is really your God, well, let's see what's going to happen. Let's get some bullocks in this offering. And I want you to call upon your God. Let him bring fire and consume this offering. And you know the story. The prophets of Baal, they were cutting themselves. They were crying aloud. But their God would not listen. And Elijah said, is your God real? Is your God asleep? Maybe he took a trip. He's not here today. But then Elijah's turn came. You know the story. Elijah's turn came. He said, you know what? Here's my altar of offering. Dump 3 loads of water on it. And he prayed. And he called the fire of God to come down upon that offering. And God consumed that offering with fire. But what follows after is chapter 18. Look at chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will, notice the opportunity in his calling, I will send rain upon the earth. If you slide down to verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up. This is after the showdown. Get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. In verse 43, and said to his servant, go up now. Elijah sent his servant, look toward the sea. And the servant went up and looked and said, I don't see anything. There's nothing there. Elijah tells him, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the what? The rain stop thee not. When you get to verse 45, it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens, hello, the heavens was black with clouds and with wind, and there was, read that phrase with me, there was a great rain. You see, with the difficulty of the occasion of the calling of Elijah, what follows is the opportunity of greatness. God was going to bring a great rain after that drought. Amen? Now, let me give you an application. Today, the nation of Israel is still in spiritual drought. They still have not recognized the Messiah. But there will come a time when there will be a spiritual rain in the future of Israel. Acts chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" In Hosea chapter 14 verse 1, the Bible says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." In Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6, for the sake of time, let me read the verses for you. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob," and notice, "to restore the preserved of Israel." In Jeremiah 33 verse 7, he says, "I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and I will build them as the first." I'll tell you, there will come a time then that once again Israel will receive spiritual rain. Now, Elijah, just on a side note, to the Christian, did you know that Elijah is a type of the rapture? There was a man in Genesis chapter 5 by the name of Enoch. There are two people in the Old Testament who never experienced death. Enoch was one of them. Remember Enoch? Let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. Remember this. There's only a handful of people that God had physically raptured. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, look at this. There was this man by the name of Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Notice verse 22. "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Verse 24. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And you say, "Well, Pastor, that's difficult to understand." Well, that's clarified when you get to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Do you know what happened to Enoch? Enoch never died. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. Look at Hebrews 11, 5. The Bible says, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death." Imagine that. Enoch's still alive today. Now, the second person in the Bible that you will find that experienced the same is this man that we're looking at. His name is Elijah. Amen. Elijah, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, we will learn that Elijah never died. God takes him up on a whirlwind. Remember his story? Elijah never died. God brings down a whirlwind, takes him up, and brings him to heaven with him. He's still alive today. Imagine that. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, he's mentioned with Moses. He's going to come back. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 3, in Mark chapter 9, verses 4 to 13, he's named with Moses and with Jesus Christ. He reappears again, this Elijah. He comes in the spirit as John the Baptist. Remember? Matthew chapter 11, verse 14. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah in him. And then in Revelation chapter 11, he will be one of the two witnesses along with Moses. Elijah is still alive. That's his opportunity. That's the opportunity of his calling. And here's the point. Imagine if Elijah only focused on the present circumstances, the difficulties of what we're about to look at, he would have missed out on the blessings of the future. That's the second point. When you focus on the difficulties of the present, you might miss out on the blessings of the future. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4, that's what the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So first, the occasion of the calling of Elijah was difficulty, but the opportunity of his calling is great. He will be sitting right there with God. He's standing with Moses and with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the opportunity of his calling. Now, I wish I could jump from the occasion of his calling to the opportunity of his calling and skip the middle ground. But the truth is, from the occasion of the calling of Elijah to the opportunity of what's awaiting him in the future, there is the operations of God. The operations of God, it lies in between the occasion of God's calling to Elijah to the opportunity of God's calling to Elijah. And here's the operations of God in between. Go back to our text now. Now, this is a three-point message, but I will only go over one because it has sub-points. Amen? Look at verses 1 again. As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. God calls Elijah to bring drought. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and have commanded the ravens, number 2, to feed thee there. And Elijah follows. Here's what's going on. Let me summarize it for you. As Elijah called drought upon Israel, so there was famine in the land. There's drought in the land. God tells him, Elijah, while there is a drought in the land, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I'm going to provide for you as my prophet. So notice God's choice of provisions for the prophet. Number one, a drying brook. A drying brook. Look at it. Look at the text. Verse 3. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. In verse 5, he says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Notice God's first choice of provision for this prophet was a drying brook, as opposed to an overflowing river. What was right next to Brook Cherith? Jordan. If you study the book of Exodus, chapter 14 or chapter 4, you know what the characteristic of the river Jordan is? The Bible says it overfloweth with water all the time. That's the same river Jordan that Israel crossed, and God had to stop the water from flowing on both sides. Remember? But notice how God does not tell Elijah to go to the river Jordan. You know what he says? Go to the brook Cherith. Don't go to an overflowing river. Instead, go to a drying brook. Huh. Second, choice of God for provision. So Elijah was to go to this drying brook called the Brook Cherith. And secondly, notice the second choice of provision of God for Elijah. And it shall be that thou shalt drink, I'm looking at verse 4 now, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So God's way of providing for Elijah, first was a drying brook, secondly, a dirty ravens. Dirty ravens, why do I call them dirty? Well, look at their characteristic. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. Think about that for a minute. There is drought in the land, and you know what these ravens are doing to feed Elijah? They were scavenging for survival as the whole land dried up. These ravens would go around probably picking on dead animals, because it says flesh, bread and flesh. Scavenging on dead animals, take their meat, pick it up, fly over to Brook Cherith, and drop it off to Elijah. Think about that. God's choice of provision for this prophet, a drying brook and dirty ravens. Wow. Third provision. Look at this. Verse 7 first. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. There's no more mention of the ravens. You know why? The ravens probably died. Right? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded, notice the third choice of provision for the prophet, a widow woman. As a matter of fact, a dying poor widow woman. How do I know she was dying? Well, she says it in the later verses. She said, I had only a morsel of bread for me and my son to make. And after this, I'm going to cook it, I'm going to bake it, then we will die. That's what she said. Remember that? So I'm looking at this text and I'm trying to understand how God's operation works. From the way he called Elijah, from that occasion where he called Elijah, to the opportunity that he's going to bestow upon Elijah, God's operations and way of providing for the prophet a drying brook, dirty ravens, and a dying poor widow. Amen? Here's the application. First of all, before God turned the drought of Israel and brought an abundant rain, the prophet Elijah had to go through some of these operations, understanding how God provides. The trouble with Elijah is with his personal provisions. Now, the spiritual life in a Christian, to go from spiritual drought in the Christian life to a spiritual abundance in the Christian life, it does not happen overnight. Would you agree? And so much so, if a church has been through drought for so long, the operations of God will not just suddenly turn it overnight into a spiritual rain, abundant rain. There is something that must happen in between. There's the operations of God that must be there. The question to you, Christian, and the question to you, church, is this. Are you and are we willing as Christians and as a church to go through God's operations? God's ways of provisions. Now, your life may be characterized as that of a drying brook. You may feel like you're drying up of resources, of strength and health, or spirituality and joy. You as a Christian and we as a church today, maybe our condition is that of a drying brook. Drying up, running out of everything, running out of life, running out of health, running out of spirituality and joy. Or your life may feel like that of a scavenging raven. How many of you are scavengers today? You feel like you're working just day in, day out, just hustling to provide for your family, to bring home the bread and the flesh. And you're looking at the rest of the animal kingdom, and you see the animal kingdom dying one creature after another because of the drought and poverty. Is your life like that of a scavenging raven? And thirdly, maybe your life today, Christian and church, is that of a poor widow woman. If you look at the Bible, you know what she was doing. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. The life of this poor widow woman, she was going through just the mundane task of every day, gathering sticks, if I may. Not having anything in the future to look forward to. As a matter of fact, you know what she says? In, verse 12. I have not a cake but a handful of meat in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress for it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. In other words, this poor widow woman, I'm just collecting these sticks, just like I do every day. I do it every day. But I don't really know what the future holds. I don't really know what's going to happen to me. As a matter of fact, this morsel of bread is my last. This cruse of oil is my last. After this, we'll die. Is your life like that of a poor widow woman? You don't have anything in your future to look forward to. Just waiting for death and dying. But notice how God does not always provide our needs according to how we want. In fact, He uses the seemingly insignificant tools and ways to provide for our needs. He used a drying brook. He used the scavenging ravens. And by God, He used a poor widow woman to provide for His prophet. To provide for His prophet. That's the operations of God. Next Sunday, we'll talk about God's choice of problems for the prophet and God's hand of power to the prophet. But we'll end right here. Church, in order, and Christian, if you and I would like to see God take us out from the drought, from the spiritual drought, all the way to spiritual abundance, we have to understand the operations in between. Amen. The operations in between. You know what God uses? You know what the Bible says? Let me find a text for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 26. Go there. We'll close with this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. First Corinthians 1:26, the Bible says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise." And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised, God had chosen. And things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh may glory in his presence. Would you like to see an abundant spirituality in this church? Would you like to see an abundant spirituality in your Christian life? Understands God's operations. God can use a drying up brook. God can use a dirty raven. And God can use a dying poor widow. Every head bow, every eye closed today. As the piano plays, I don't know if how this message has spoken to you. But I can tell you this, if you are not saved today, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, none of the things that I've talked about today matters or makes sense until you come to Him and call upon His name. Ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Secondly, if you are saved today, but your life has been just dry. And I'm not talking financially dry. It may be so, but I'm talking spiritually dry. Would you come to the old-fashioned altar and ask God to bring down the storm, to bring down abundant rain into your life, to bring down spirituality and joy back into your life again? And if you are a member of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, would you not like to see abundant rain in this church? Would you come and pray for us? Would you come and pray for Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church? That God will pour an abundant rain upon this church and upon you as individual members of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. That God will use you for who you are, a nobody. Let God make you a somebody for Him. Member of our church, but God has led you to this church. There's a reason for that. Would you come? Amen. God's people say?
Amen.
Would you stand to your feet as we close in? Brother Carey, would you close us in prayer, please, Brother Carey?